This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Water is life, as they say, and fresh water is necessary for the survival of all living organisms on Earth. Though Malaysia is blessed with abundant water resources, are we a people who take this resource for granted? Joining me now is Yang Bahagia, Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail. He is the CEO of the National Water Services Commission, or Suruhanjaya Berkhidmatan Air Negara. I think most of us know it as SPAN, to discuss how we Malaysians need to take this natural resource of ours more seriously. Welcome, Dato. How are you today?
Yeah, thank you, BFM and Juliet.
Very nice to have you on this show. So, Dato, just to get to know you a little bit better, I mean, you've served, I think, nearly 30 years in the public sector, involved in many initiatives, government agencies enhancing health-related activities, environmental sanitation programs, all sorts of things. Tell me a little bit about, you know, your interest in this area of work.
Well, yeah, I graduated in 82. So when I came back, I was put into the Ministry of Health Engineering Services. Mm-hmm. With that position, sanitation as well as water supply as and sanitation comes part of the job. So the interest develops there, and therefore, you know, it's best that it was not a popular topic at that time.
I can imagine.
But now it has become quite an issue. So I assume that it was, I was probably at the right time in the right place.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, but you know, many of us, I mean, don't even consider this. Where does our water supply even come from? I think this is something that many Malaysians take for granted. Would you agree in your
Yes, I think Malaysians thought that it's free water. You know? We are getting our water from the sky.
Yep.
But basically, the water needs to be treated before it reaches our premises. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, some cost and, you know, evaluation needs to be done to the value of water.
Mm-hmm. And this is an important thing that SPAN does. And I, again, another thing I think a lot of Malaysians don't know about is what SPAN does.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah? Could you explain that
Thank
for
you
us?
Very much. I think SPAN has been formed 2008, it was 10 years now, 10 to 11 years. Mm-hmm. So the function is actually to regulate the water supply as well as the sewerage industry for Malaysia. So when we say regulate, it means that we regulate economically. That means some form of cost involved in both services, as well as technically, that the product meets certain minimum standards that the operators need to conform with. And of course, we took a social responsibility so that the consumers are protected in that sense.
Right.
So these are the three major areas of regulation that we do. But of course, we only cover the whole of Peninsula Malaysia and Labuan. Sabah and Sarawak have their own regulator in that sense.
Okay, so SPAN specifically is on Peninsula Malaysia.
Exactly, yeah. And okay. Labuan, Wilayah Sukhothai Labuan.
And Labuan, of course, yeah. Yes. All right. And who are the different stakeholders that you work with, you know, that SPAN works with? Are you also very involved in advising the ministries, for example?
Yes, exactly. One of the functions of SPAN is actually to advise the ministry on the water-related issues as well as sewerage-related issues, mm-hmm. so that policies on these two aspects will be put together by the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But our regulating industry covers the whole aspect. That means from the designing, where we actually register qualified designer to do water supply as well as sewerage projects. And then we have the constructor, the one who construct the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the one who actually operates the facilities and, of course, to the consumer. So the whole ambit of industry is within our control in mm-hmm. that respect. So it's quite a huge task, actually, to regulate the industry.
I can imagine. And yes. I mean, so many different stakeholders
exactly.
with so many different wants and needs and demands.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
Not an easy
Tremendous
job.
Challenge.
And what are some of those great challenges that SPAN has to deal with?
Yes, I think basically for water supply, it is the value of water. We need to increase the public awareness mm-hmm. that water has a value to it. Because as you're aware, Juliet, now we are quite blessed with lots of water. You can turn on the tap 24/7 and you get the water supply.
Yeah.
So in that respect, public have the perception that water is everywhere. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, there is a limited amount of water that we need to provide to the public, because some of the water, the quality of raw water that we are getting from the nature is deteriorating over the years because of pollution and other sorts of distraction to the water quality. So in that respect, the challenge is to get the water supply 24/7 at a minimum quality and quantity, and at the same time, hoping that the economic level of the services will maintain over the years so that it's sustainable for a long period of time. So that's challenge itself.
Yeah, because, you know, we think as consumers, we just think, okay, my goodness, no water, how are we going to survive the day? But we forget to think about industries, you know, all the different businesses and how things are shut down when clean water is not available.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and I think one common misconception among Malaysians is that, you know, we are blessed with abundant rainfall. And therefore, you know, I mean, how can we possibly have any problems with water when we have rain half the time? But I think, you know, people don't realize that not all rainwater is captured for consumption.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could elaborate on that. You know, what exactly would a water crisis look like?
Water crisis is happened when, as I say, as Malaysians, when you turn on your tap, there is no running water, or when the water runs, but the quality of water is not to perfection.
Yeah.
So that I would consider some form of crisis. But I mean, crisis itself. But if it covers a large area as a large population, that's a real crisis, which has happened in Malaysia quite a few times. So in that respect, as I say, sustainability of the water services needs to be looked into over the years. Mm-hmm. Because as we are aware, treatment of water supply needs some cost to it, as well as treatment of sewerage itself needs some cost to it. Mm-hmm. But the cost that we public are paying now is quite cheap. That's why I think public perceive that water is everywhere.
Exactly.
You can see wastage happening over the years in all areas of domestic as well as commercial.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a very important point. You know, we pay very little comparatively to other countries for our water supply. I mean, even in Selangor, it's, it's subsidized. You know, sometimes people don't have to pay anything, so they just take it for granted.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So is that something that SPAN is also working on, you know, to raise more awareness, to get people to understand, you know, that this is a finite resource ultimately?
Yes, I think, of course, it's not SPAN's own responsibility. We need the support of many other NGOs as well as public to actually understand the value of water. Mm-hmm. Of course, we are aggressively beginning this year to actually promote the what we call the reduce water consumption by the public. Mm-hmm. The current level of water consumption is about 201 liter per capita per day.
Wow.
So we have been given the target to reduce to 180 liters per capita per day by 2020. This target was set by the Ministry of Water, Land and Natural Resources, CATS, we call it. And we have a strong program to actually reduce this consumption in the sense that, one, to propagate the use of water-efficient devices, for example, the taps as well as shower heads as well as washing machines that have been star rated by SPAN, actually. So currently this voluntary being is being used voluntarily, but I think time has come where we need to put up a new regulation to actually make it compulsory for new development to actually use these devices.
Mm-hmm.
And with that we hope that those non-efficient water devices will be pushed off the market later, and only water-efficient devices will be on sale in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm. I think people have, again, another common misconception that, you know, these things come at a higher cost, or, you know, the initial installation is a lot more expensive than, let's say, the less efficient ones. But, you know, ultimately, the savings, not just for yourself, but for the environment as well, that is that is priceless.
Yes, that's, but as you rightly mentioned, the savings also occurs to the consumer.
Yeah.
Because with the use of these devices, the water consumption has been reduced. And therefore, the tariff that you pay to the water operators will also reduce. So there's some economic benefit to it as well.
And I think, again, maybe we need to rethink how much we're charging people for water.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, it's, I mean, people conserve electricity because it's expensive.
Exactly.
But they take water for granted. You know, you've been working on these issues for a long time. And over the course of your career, what have you seen that actually works to help solve, you know, these sorts of water issues? Because we're talking about long-term, you know, sustainability and all of that, right? So what do you think would be at the core of, you know, getting these, getting us on the right path to sustainability in terms of water consumption?
Well, as you compare with other utilities, for example, electricity or even telecommunication, which is a 40 to 30 billion ringgit revenue per year.
Yeah.
Compared that to the water utilities as well as sewage utilities, we are only at 4 to 5 billion ringgit a year industry. So that's a 10%, only a 10% of the total revenue made by Tenaga or even telecommunication. And even for those two utilities, electricity and telecommunication, they are already self-sustaining in terms of economic viability.
Yeah.
So we have to look at, as I say, the cost of water that the public needs to pay. We need to make the public understand that water is not that cheap. As I mentioned, a pail of pure, pristine water with a drop or two of sewage becomes sewage itself. Even it's a pail of sewage. So that's the cost. In fact, sewage costs more treatment costs than the water supply. So in that respect, I hope the public is aware that they need some cost, the costing of treating this water as well as sewage must be commensurate with the tariff or charges that will be imposed upon. So with that analogy, we hope public is aware that cost of water needs to be reviewed over the years.
And, you know, that's always a bitter pill to swallow.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, because it has, you know, it has been quite long since the tariff has been reviewed.
Yes.
Some states have not reviewed the tariff for 30 to 20 years. So definitely you can't be sustainable over the years to, you know, produce same quality of water with the, you know, tariff that has been set 20 years ago.
Yeah. And again, you know, this is something that I was reading about our neighbours across the causeway, for example.
Right.
They are taught, you know, to really appreciate the water. Number one, they're charged a lot more than us. And number two, they're also told, you know, if you don't conserve your water, one day Malaysia might cut your water.
Yes.
You know, the things that we are taking for granted. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of things need to be reviewed, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, another important issue when we're talking about the environment is, of course, climate change. And that could also, you know, negatively impact our water resources. I mean, is that something you'd like
to... Yes, I think it's happening now. Yeah. As I mentioned, our raw water quality has been deteriorating over the years. There are more sediments, there are more pollutants, and there are less water because of climate change as well as, you know, ecological change to the nature.
Yeah.
So we are looking at climate change as a condition or as a parameter in planning for our water resources over the next years. Because it is here and it'll get more and more complicated over the years. So we need to look at climate change as well as natural changes to the water environment over the years.
And I think another, I think you alluded to it as well, you know, changes in the, you know, ecology. The degazettement of, you know, forest reserves, for example. I mean, that is a very troubling thing because these are water catchment areas as well.
Right.
And, you know, this is something that state governments as well, because it usually falls under state governments, right, these degazettement issues. And I guess, is that something that you also kind of, advise ministries on as well?
Exactly. I think, of course, these water resources and the catchment areas are, as you correctly put it, is under the state government. I think our minister as well as the ministry is working very closely with all states government to look into protecting the catchment area as well as gazetting them. And at the same time, of course, state government hoped for some, I would say compensation, economic loss to
of
that
course.
Activity. And some form of payment to the state government may be, you know, required as a policy by the federal government. So in that respect, the ministry is now looking at a new water resource policy over the years, so that now that the ministry cover both water supply as well as water source, So it's a good time for the ministry to relook at the policy. Mm-hmm. And work closely with state government to actually on a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing that happening? That is something.
Yes, it is happening. The policy is being drafted now. We hope that the ministry will successfully put up the policy soon.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, as you also spoke about, you know, with the explosion of new water innovations and technology, I mean, are you optimistic about the future of our water supply or are you concerned?
Yes, I think with the mechanics as well as the restructuring exercise that has been done for the water industry now since the last 10 years, I'm quite optimistic in the sense that if the state government, the water operators, as well as the federal government works closely to actually look at this restructuring exercise as a mechanism to improve water sustainability over the years, it will happen as what we have planned.
Okay, all right. And so you're saying we've got until, what was it, 2020 to reduce our water?
Well, that's the first target, there'll be other targets later, I would assume.
Okay, all right. And you know, as the CEO of SPAD, you know, I mean, what decision would you like to see in place that would positively impact our water security in Malaysia?
Well, as a regulator, as I say, we need to regulate the industry towards sustainability, both economically, so that the people pay the right price for the water that they're receiving, mm-hmm. and at the same time, protecting the consumer in terms of quantity as well as quality of water. Mm-hmm. So if that can happen, I think we've done 90% of our job. Mm-hmm. Now it's actually to sustain the water industry and sewerage industry as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the major challenge that we need to do it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in terms of consumers, especially because I know that is something that you're working on very hard now. You know, what would your advice be to consumers, especially to kind of conserve water, to appreciate, you know, this natural resource that we have, as you mentioned, so abundantly?
Yes, I have repeatedly said this, that consumers should value the water. We would need a consumer to be more cautious in using water as well as not jeopardizing their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I again urge the public to actually use the water efficient devices for new projects so that we can use prolonged our usage of our limited resources of water over the years. Mm-hmm. I think that's a major contribution that we need from the consumer.
Okay. And just to conclude that, though, you know, SPAN, let's say if people want to engage with you for whatever reasons, right? How best can they do that?
Well, they can visit our website at www.span.gov.my. Mm-hmm. And there are various items that the public can actually report to us. And we'll be glad to actually answer their questions and queries over the years. Mm-hmm. There's no issue, yeah.
And businesses, it's the same for businesses as well?
As basically both, I've got consumer as well as business, as well as industry. They can come to our website for information as well as queries.
It's a very open channel to be available.
Easy open, yes.
Okay, wonderful. And just any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, we hope we will engage more with the public to look at water supply as industry in general and to improve the services as well as protect the environment. And again, water is a limited resource, so please use it carefully.
All right. Thank you so much, Dato', for joining me today. I've been speaking to Yang Bahagia, Dato' Muhammad Ridwan Ismail. He is the CEO of the National Water Services Commission, or Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air Negara, SPAN. And we were talking about the importance of water conservation in Malaysia. Again, that website is span.gov.my if you'd like to get in touch and, you know, find out more. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.